by way of introducing our conversation this morning, two ideas. The first is from a writer I enjoy, Barbara Brown Taylor. In Taylor's introduction to her book, An Altar in the World, she tells a story about being invited by someone she characterizes as a wise old priest to come and speak at his church in Alabama. And when she asks the priest, "What do you want me to talk about?" his answer is, "Come and tell us what is saving your life now. Come and tell us what is saving your life now." And this is what she writes about how that felt. "It was as if he had swept his arm across a dusty table and brushed all the formal china to the ground. I did not have to try to say correct things that were true for everyone. I did not have to use theological language that conformed to the historical teachings of the church. All I had to do was figure out what my life depended on." And she goes on to talk about in that setting, to then figuring out how to talk about what her life depended on in a way that might encourage other people to reflect on the same thing. And in some ways, that's exactly what I'm hoping that we can have a conversation about together this morning, is the sorts of things that if we stop and think about it for a few moments, we realize this is what my life depends on. Or as I put it in the title to the blurb, what is saving my life right now? And the reason I wanted to use the Barbara Brown Taylor quote is because I think she does a beautiful job of sweeping some things out of the way in it. When we have a conversation like this, it's not about trying to get the language right. It's not about trying to say the right things. It's not about trying to say something that aligns with an expectation that maybe we've been taught, you know, we should have, or a practice that should be the thing that keeps us alive, or any of that. And the other thing is, and she doesn't mention this in the bit that I quoted, but she does in the further part of the introduction, is that the answer we would give today is not necessarily the answer we would give tomorrow. The thing that feels like it's what's saving our life now or keeping us alive now is not necessarily the thing that's going to feel like it's doing that another day under another circumstance. So my hope, my desire is that we'll be able to talk about that in different ways this morning. And again, an invitation, all right? If we want to listen in on one another, or we don't feel comfortable talking about that, or we haven't maybe thought about it long enough to feel like we have a true to us answer, then that's all good too. But that's the invitation. And the other story that I wanted to tell us, just to get us kind of rolling, and by the way, I should just mention, this might feel a little odd and artificial to those of us that are here, but there are lots of folks that aren't here by Zoom that'll listen in later by podcast, so they'll only get the audio of this front end. They won't hear our conversations with one another. I won't record those, but I am recording this front end for folks to listen to. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, then I would encourage you, when the audio part of this is done, to spend some time reflecting on that question. What is it that is saving your life now? And if you want to share it with the community, but this is not the way you would choose to do that, please feel free to email, or if you're on Facebook, to comment on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. This is a story, I share this with permission, a story from a dear friend of mine, of ours as a family, who was diagnosed with cancer on July the 10th. I could say all the obvious things. Anyone who's sort of ever encountered a cancer diagnosis, either personally or in someone that they care about, knows that cancer is no respecter of persons or practices. This is a healthy person, a fit person, a person who pays attention to what they eat. They're doing all the right things, you know, and was diagnosed with cancer, and fairly directly moved into chemo in the interest of reducing the activity of the cancer cells before surgery, which they had on October the 1st, so just a few days ago, that surgery went well. This was written about 2 weeks or so before that surgery. And I thought it was an interesting story in the context of what's keeping you alive now. She talks in the first part of this about in the middle of all this chemo, celebrating their 42nd wedding anniversary, and also the fact that they're in the middle of the first year of her husband's retirement, and how neither of those events would have ever been imagined in the context of cancer treatment. And then she writes this. Life really takes us for a spin sometimes. There's a very large mosaic. Oh, as an aside, this person is a mosaic maker. And if you've ever been to our home and seen the peace mosaic that's at the top of our driveway, that's her work as well. There's a very large mosaic hanging in my family room that I made many years ago called Friend or Foe. I may rename it Facing My Fears, because as I've been contemplating it, I feel it was made for a time such as this. It is of a fearsome fire-breathing, bracket, pretty awesome actually, close bracket, dragon, and a little girl. She's wondering whether he's a friend or foe. And as I've been thinking about it, I feel that what he becomes depends on how she reacts to him. It's funny how I had a burn to make that mosaic a long time before I actually did it. And it's surprising how much deep joy and genuine happiness we have had on this particular journey. That monster came into my house, that monster being cancer, that monster came into my house uninvited and stood in the middle of my living room, and I looked him in the eye and realized I was still here. We are learning to live in the moment and not look far ahead, because that is unknown and instills fear. Having a life-threatening diagnosis offers you an opportunity, if you're willing to look inside honestly and see the patterns of behaving and thinking that are blocking and stifling your true self that God knows and sees, to catapult into a space where you are able to change and let things go at an accelerated rate, because you understand viscerally what is really important and that you may not have the luxury of extended time. In one of Richard Rohr's, she's a Richard Rohr fan, in one of Richard Rohr's daily devotions, there's a story about a man with cancer that had 5 major operations in 3 weeks and was so very ill. He told his caregiver of the illusions that had fallen away in his mind and heart, and that he was left with 2 convictions. One was that life was sacred, and the other was that we lived not by choice, but by grace. And then she concludes this part of the email with, well, grace is what you are all embodying for me, and I'm developing a practice of consciously experiencing it and drinking it in. I cannot thank you enough. So in some ways, what she's talking about there are the things that are saving her life now, that are keeping her alive and feeling alive, not just, you know, not just the motor kind of ticking over, but more than that. That's what I want to invite us to reflect on together this morning, is what is keeping us alive today? What is it in your life that, if you really stop and think about it, is the thing or are the things that you feel like, that's what I live for right now? Because that's the same question. What's keeping me alive and what do I live for? Those are pretty intertwined kinds of questions. I'm going to turn off the recording device that I've been using for this part of our gathering. So again, if you've joined us by podcast, bye for now. And what we share with one another as a community will be just that. It'll just be like we were in the room together and speaking with one another. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. At any rate, it'll be ours to share with one another and not go out there into the ether. All right.